When I was a small boy, I loved candy. My favorite candy store was just up the street from my house, probably no longer than maybe just 2.5 blocks from our house. Every time I had some money from doing my chores, the first thing I would do was go to the candy store and buy some of my favorite candy. I loved that candy store. But I need to tell you that it wasn't really a candy store. It was just a drugstore that sold candy. But in my little young mind, it was a candy store. Every once in a while, my mother would send me to the store, and she would send me to the store with a note. And she would say, "Go to the store, don't read the note, hand the note to the man. He'll put my items in the bag." And little Uli Joe, that she would call me, "And on your way home, don't open the bag. Go to the store, hand the note, he'll put my stuff in the bag, and you bring the bag to me." But as many of you probably already know, that with the little extra money that I had, that I would also, while I was there, take some time to buy some candy. And I would put the candy in my pocket, and once I got home with my mom's bag, I would go someplace and I would sneak and eat my piece of candy. You see, my mother sent me to the store, and she had a very top priority for me. And she had a purpose in mind, and that was go and get my stuff. Bring it back. That's your responsibility. That's your purpose for going to the store, and it had nothing to do with buying candy. You know, when I think about what my mother would ask me to do, I recognize that there was a purpose that she had in mind. And my purpose was to stay focused on what was her priority and what was not mine. And guys, you wouldn't be shocked if I told you that Jesus came to planet Earth with a purpose. He had a very, very high bar priority that the Father had given him. And that was simply to be our Redeemer, to give his life as a ransom for us, to reconcile us back to God. That was his purpose. Oftentimes, I ask myself, I don't know about you, when I was a teenager, it was during the Vietnam War. And many of my friends would leave high school and they would go to Vietnam and they wouldn't return. Even I remember even on our prom night, as many of us were doing things that we had no business doing, and some of you know how prom nights can be, senior prom, and we were doing some things, and there were a few of my friends that got into a serious car accident and died on prom night. And, you know, I was doing some of the very same stuff that they were doing. But I survived, and they didn't. I was old enough, and I went to the war as some of my friends did. They didn't return home, but I did. So there came a point when I began to start asking some questions, and that question was, what's my purpose? Why am I still alive? Why are my friends, many of them, dead? And I want you to ask yourself the question tonight, what is your purpose? This is 2017. And some of us in this room, if we could stand and give testimony, we could say that, you know what, Dr. Bolden, if I could tell you guys some of the stuff that I used to do, you'd be surprised that I'm even alive. You'd be surprised that I'm even here if you really knew the way my life used to be. And so I want you just to take a moment just to reflect tonight on why you're still alive with your heart beating at Dallas Seminary in 2017. I submit to you that your heart's beating, that you're alive despite of some of the things that you did, some of the situations you found yourself in, some of the jams that God got you out of. I submit to you that you're alive because God has a purpose for your life. And guess what? Your life won't end till that purpose is finalized, until it's fulfilled. Because ultimately, all of us are going to be able to echo the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, "It is I finished my job. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And I hope that you're here at Dallas Seminary because you recognize that there's still some preparation that you need to do to finish well. Because many of you, you started your course before you got to Dallas Seminary. Amen, someone? And so you're here to better sharpen your spiritual knife. You're here to better equip yourself for ministry. So what I want to do tonight from the book of Acts, chapter 26, I want to use a situation that the Apostle Paul found himself in. And I want to talk to you from this theme, the priority of purpose. The priority of purpose. So remember, Jesus knew while he was here. He knew that he would come to earth and he knew exactly when he was going to leave earth. And he knew exactly what was going to happen even to him after he even left planet earth. And in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, we find the Apostle Paul in a situation where he's being questioned by a man named Agrippa, a very powerful king who had tremendous authority. Now, he's talking to Agrippa in response to already being questioned by a man named Festus. And while Agrippa and his wife are in town, he says, you know, I've got this guy, I'm just paraphrasing, I've got this guy that I've heard from, got some strange kind of stuff. I'm hearing some stuff about him, about this guy resurrecting from the dead. And while you and Bernice are in town, I want you to come and listen to this guy as well. So we pick up the story in chapter 26, verse 1. It says, so Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. Then Paul stretched out his hands and made his defense. I consider myself fortunate, he said, that it is before you, King Agrippa, I'm going to make my defense today against all the accusations of the Jews, especially because you are familiar with all the customs and controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. My manner of life, Paul says, he begins to rehearse the person that he was prior to his conversion. My manner of life from my youth spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem is known by all the Jews. Paul says, I'm well known. A lot of people know my history. They know my pedigree. Then he says, they have known for a long time, if they're willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to obtain. And they earnestly worship night and day, and for this hope I am accused by the Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God should raise the dead? Agrippa is almost like he's saying, I'm glad that it's you because I know you're very knowledgeable about Jewish life. You're very knowledgeable about Jewish theology. You're very knowledgeable about Jewish history. And I'm glad it's you that I'm talking to. And so I know you'll understand. And then he says, Agrippa, let me do the Willie Bolden paraphrase. It's no big deal that God could raise someone from the dead. And what he's doing, he's playing on his mind about many of the miraculous things that they knew that God had done in the Old Testament, right? I mean, time after time after time, God works these miracles. And so he says, Agrippa, it's not that big of a deal. And then I love what he says in verse 9. I myself... Agrippa, let me say, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem and not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priest, but when they were put to death, I even went beyond it. I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Agrippa, I was sold out. I knew what I had called, what I was called to be. I was called to be a Pharisee. And he says, Agrippa, I was one of the best and everyone knew it. Agrippa, I didn't care if it was men, women, or children. Agrippa, I did my job and I was convinced that I was doing what was right. In the minds of Yahweh, in the minds of Judaism, in the minds of our religion. Then he says in verse 12, in this connection, Agrippa, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. But at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me, my brothers and sisters, if you haven't had a day in your life that you hear a voice saying to you, I promise you the day will come when you'll hear it. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying an audible voice will say, John, Mary, Beth, Edith, here's what I want you to do. But I promise you that you will know beyond a doubt the difference between the Lord's voice and the voice of yourself or even the voice of the devil. You'll know. You'll know. Is there anyone here that's already heard the voice? Yeah, I believe many of you are. You've heard the voice. That's the reason why you're here at Dallas Seminary, is in response to the voice you heard. Watch what he says. Verse 14, and when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. In essence, Paul, what you're doing, your efforts are going to be fruitless. You won't win. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. So now Paul understands, wait a minute, I thought the dead did not rise, but I had a personal experience with the resurrected Christ on my way to do something against this very Christ that I thought was dead. And this dead man came to life and spoke to me, and I heard it clearly. He says, you're persecuting not them. When you persecute them, you're persecuting me. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, when we share the gospel, it's not us that they are rejecting. It's him that they're rejecting. When they say that we're crazy, when they say that we're fanatics, when they say all these things about me, look, don't let that deter you. Don't let that hinder you. Don't let that bother you, because ultimately the person that they're trying to run from is the very creator himself. So it's not against us. It's against him. And there are three things I want to tell you tonight before you leave. Three things I want to tell you before you go back to class that's extremely important. And I want you to notice this even in this verse. Look at verse 16. He says, but rise. Rise, Paul. Rise. Stand up on your feet. For I have appeared to you, please underscore this in your Bible, for this purpose. Underscore the word purpose. That's the first word that I'm going to give you. And all of these words, all of these points are going to start with the letter P, as in Paul, to help you to remember. Listen, my brothers and sisters. The only reason why that you're alive is not because you're taking your medicine. You're not alive because of your workout regimen. You're not alive because you're eating well. You're not alive because of any other reason. The only reason why your heart is beating at this very moment is that there's a job, there's a calling upon your life that God wants you to do. That's why you're here. And to me, that should be something that you just say, hallelujah. I'm here not because of myself. I'm not here because of my dad. I'm not here because my pastor encouraged me to go to Dallas Seminary. I'm not here because of my mom. I'm not here for any other reason. It's God sovereignly through Jesus Christ. He spoke to me and said, this is what I want you to do. And Dallas Seminary is a place where I want you to go to equip yourself for what I've called you for. There's a purpose for your life. Have things ever been so bad for you that you started questioning, what's my purpose for even being alive? Oh, if I could tell you, if time would permit for me to tell you the stories about my life when I was so low, I was so down. And I can remember being on the freeway in Dallas and saying, all you got to do, Willie, is just take the steering wheel. I'm in the left-hand lane, the fast lane. All you've got to do is just whip it to the right, and you'll flip over several times. And I don't know, you'll probably get thrown out of the car, but at least you'll be over. You'll be over. You won't have to deal with it anymore, the pressures of this life, because your life is worthless. And listen to me, my brothers and sisters. I said this in the midst of being a pastor over a church. I got to a point where I just felt, what's the purpose? What's it all for? You go through the motions and nothing seems to happen. Oh, yeah. I hope it never happens to you, but if that day should come to where you're preparing for a lesson, you're preparing for a sermon, you're at the hospital, maybe you're going through something physical in your body, maybe your children are just walking just contrary and you're saying, Lord, nothing seems to be working. Remind yourself, God has a calling. Has a calling on your life. And I don't want to be critical. Don't let your husband, don't let your wife, don't let your kids, don't let your best friends rob you of the calling that God has for you. And here's what I believe. If you're married, the calling that God has for you, he'll confirm that calling to your spouse. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He won't ever split up a family. Oh, no. He won't ever call you and cause that to cause you to have a divorce. No, God doesn't work like that. God is a God of order. God's a God of unity. And if he calls you, he's not just calling you, but he's calling those that love you and that you love. Amen. Amen. So I want to tell you, there's a purpose for your life. But there's something else that I want you to see in this text. Watch what he says. I've appointed you as a servant and a witness. Please underscore those two words in your Bible. A servant and a witness. A servant, everyone. This word here is the word for slave. And I got to tell you, in my culture, the word slave hasn't been a pretty word. It's a word that oftentimes we run from. I'll be anything, but I don't want to be a slave. But that's the exact word that Paul is using. You've been called, guess what? To be a slave. But guess what? This slave owner is the best master that there ever was. Amen. This slave owner is one who loves his slaves so much that guess what? He served his slaves so much that he died in their presence to say, I love you just that much. I want you to be redeemed. And now Paul says, be a slave, not because you have to, but be a slave because you love somebody so much you want to be. I choose to be a slave. I choose to be a feet washer. I choose, amen, I choose to serve you. I'm at this place, please hear me, not for the money that Dallas Seminary gives us. I promise you that everything that's in me, I'd be here even if they gave me nothing. Because for years and years and years, I did it for nothing. Because I recognized somebody loved me so much. He said, I'm going to give you a right to be one of my slaves. And then Paul says, the Lord said to him, I not only want you to be a servant, a slave, but I want you to be a witness. Listen, a witness speaks to who you are. Remember, I tell my evangelism class, there's a difference between evangelism and what we used to call witnessing. Evangelism is something that you do, but being a witness is someone who you are. So guess what? If we are going to respond properly to our calling, it's not so much what you do, it's who you are. And who you are, if you're really true to who you are, it will be demonstrated in what you do. See, you can fake it. Oh, yes, you can fake it. You can say the Christian terms. You can sing the Christian songs. You can wave your hands. But guess what? In the quiet place at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you're in the house all by yourself, or when you're on the road and you're in your hotel room all by yourself, when you're on your vacation and no one is watching you in the church, here's the question. How are you then? Come on. Who are you then? Who are you on Tuesday? Not who you're on Sunday, because many of us, we know what mask to put on when we go to church on Sunday. We put on the godly mask on Sunday, and we are who we're supposed to be. And how are you blessed in the Lord, my brother? But how are you on Tuesday when you get the pink slip that you've been terminated? How are you when the woman that you love with everything is laying in that bed and they pull the plug out and they cover her face with the sheet. How holy are you then? He's called us for a purpose, to be slaves, for our lives to be a witness. And then quickly, two more things. I love what he says to Paul. He says this, verse 17, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you. Write the word protection. When he calls you, he promises you that he will protect you. Anybody ever had any haters? Oh, I know. Sometimes I even say to the haters, come on, haters. Come on, because if I don't have any haters, I must not be doing anything good. They thought they had Joseph. Oh, they thought they had him. We've thrown him in the pit. We got him. Daddy, he's dead. Here's the proof. We got him. And then finally, we remember the scene. They're there in Egypt, and Joseph finally reveals himself, and he says this famous word. He says, you meant it for evil. But when there's a calling on your life, God meant it for good. Now, I'm in a situation. Guess what? I could do you like you just did me. I could have you all murdered. But guess what? Because I know who God is, I'm going to spare your lives. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I can promise you, God's going to protect you when there's a calling that he has for your life. And then last but not least, let me tell you why he's called you, why there's a purpose for your life, why he protects you. Here's why. Because he has a message that he wants you to proclaim. That's my last P. He has a message he wants you to proclaim. Listen to what Paul says. Verse 17 again. Delivering you from the people, from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you. And here it is, the message, verse 18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by me. I want to tell you the truth tonight. There were many times that I was fully obedient to my mother when she would give me that note. There's some times that I would fold up the note, go and get my candy, focused on what I wanted, and come back home. I knew I was going to get in trouble because I didn't have my stuff that my mother sent me to the store for. Guess what, guys? Your father's coming back. He's going to check to see if you've got his stuff. He's going to check to see if you did what he sent you to do. Or if you spent 20 or 30 years focusing on building your own kingdom. If you did it for your own glory and accolades so people could say how great you are. Oh yeah, if that's why you did it, you got your reward. So here's my question as I leave. Do you know why you were born? Do you know why you're still alive? Do you know if your life is just some random choices that you make every day and then you die? I encourage you to do three things. Live your life on purpose, with purpose. Two, live your life based upon God's priorities. And then live your life and do what God wants you and only you to do. There are no two of yous. There's no one else that's been called to do what only you can do. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. But I am loved by you. Now that's who I am. Because I'm loved by you. You called me out of the world. I was in the darkness. You brought me into the light, and then you gave me a message of hope to a dying world. Help me as I'm here at Dallas Seminary to prepare myself to be a slave to those in the world that need to hear this message of hope. We call it the good news of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Good night.